Hey guys, what's up and welcome back to another episode of A Conversation with Jenna. If this is your first time here, hey, I'm Jenna, and I'm so glad that you're joining me here today. A little disclaimer that you will hear in every episode is this. What I'm about to share with you are my personal thoughts, opinions, and experiences. I am not an expert, nor will everything that I say be factual. Please do your own research and think for yourself. As always, my hope is that my life experiences can help you in your life. So sit back and soak in the goodness. Let's jam. There's this podcast and it's called We're All Insane. Have you guys heard of it? And basically what it is, it's like an interview only style podcast, and she has people come on her podcast and talk about their like insane life stories, right? We have everything from someone who's been in prison, someone who was like sex trafficked, someone who grew up in a religious cult, right? All of these kind of super traumatic experiences. And I was looking at her podcast and I was like looking at it through YouTube, clicked on the info button, and it was like, if you have a story to share with us, send us an email. So I was like, you know what? Like, now that I have found out that most women who go through IVF treatment also get treated in a horrendous way, I was like, you know what? I'm going to share my story. I'm going to send like a short little email about what happened to me to this girl, and let's see if she wants me to come on the pod. Because for me, it's like the more awareness that we can have with this, the better it will be. And so women can know that they're not alone, right? And I'm sure there's a ton of awareness about this. I just hadn't done any research on it because I just trusted my friend that this was going to be a solid doctor. And like I said, I didn't do any more research because I was so like emotionally exhausted and mentally exhausted from doing the issue with the going through the insurance situation, right? So anyways, I send this girl a little email and she gets back to me, and this girl, she goes, I'm going to read you word for word what she said to me. She said, hi Jenna, thank you for your email. We'd love to have you on the show. Would you be willing to travel to Maryland to film the episode? We are currently unable to cover travel expenses. Let's hop on a Zoom call in the next week to discuss your episode and get you scheduled. Just let me know your availability for a call and I'll get that set up. And literally, I was literally laughing out loud. And this is what my response to her was. I said, haha, yeah, right. So you're telling me that I have to pay to be on your show, but you get to keep all of the revenue from my episode? What a scam. No, I'm not interested in that deal. That's literally what she's telling me. She's literally like, oh yeah, you can come and be on my show, but you're going to have to pay your way to get there. And I'm thinking, first of all, why does it even have to be in person? Second of all, I'm not looking for any like compensation in the sense of you paying me for my story, but I would expect that if you want me to be on your podcast, that you're going to pay for all of my expenses to get to wherever you're located to record your podcast. But this girl is asking me to not only pay my way, but then she's going to keep all of the revenue from my episode. Are you freaking crazy? This is such a scam. And the crazy thing about it is like, this is not a small podcast. So just on YouTube alone, she has over 400,000 followers. Total YouTube views since she started in 2021 is 45 million views. I was looking at a random episode, 51,000 views. That's just on YouTube. That doesn't include her following on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook or wherever, Twitter, wherever else she's on. And I'm thinking, you can't afford to pay for my expenses. And I know what people make on social media. It's not a secret. We know that people are raking in the moolah. And you're telling me that you can't afford. We are currently unable to cover travel expenses. Why? And then I'm kind of thinking, so she has like, she's been doing this obviously since 2021. So she has a lot of people that she's interviewed on her YouTube channel. And I'm thinking, are you telling me that all of these people live in Maryland? Or are you telling me that all of these people have paid their way, like have paid to be on your show? Paid to be on your show. And I was like, what idiots? Who would do that? You know, someone who obviously wants 15 minutes of fame, and I'm not looking for 15 minutes of fame. I'm looking to get my story out there on more than just my podcast. someone, you know, with a podcast who maybe has a larger following, right? Like, to get my story out there. Like, I'm not looking to be famous. I'm looking to spread awareness. I'm looking to create a community, and I'm looking, you know, to stand up for women and for our rights, and to like spotlight and highlight the bullshit that these fertility clinics are doing to women. Like, I was just so upset. Okay. Now, another, before I get into the how the post and pre-retrieval went, I wanted to share a little like thought or theory with you. So when I think about, so like, I enjoy luxury shopping. It's funny, one time we were at a team meeting. We were talking about how I love luxury shop, or how I like to luxury shop. And I had recently won big in sports betting, and I went to YSL and I bought a wallet, and it was a wallet that I had been really wanting, but like I couldn't afford, but I had purposely sports bet so I could potentially win money to buy this wallet, right? So I was in there, we got I had champagne. It was like a wonderful experience. And one of my coworkers go, oh, do you feel in your element when you're in that store? And I go, I'm always in my element when I'm in those stores. And now I know what he meant. He meant being back in like the fashion industry, or like being in fashion, right? Because that is my background and it is one of my biggest passions. But I just thought it was funny how it could have been perceived in both ways, right? Yes, I feel in my element being around high fashion, but yes, I'm totally comfortable going into these luxury stores because it's like, that's a part of me, right? And it's funny because not a lot of people are like, well, not all people are comfortable going into those kind of stores. So anyways, so I was kind of looking at this experience with the fertility clinic, kind of like luxury shopping, right? So when I go into these stores like Louis Vuitton, Yves Saint Laurent, Chanel, Prada, Gucci, when I go into those stores, even when I'm just browsing, right, and I'm not shopping, I still get treated like a freaking princess. They like will roll out the red carpet for me, right? Even if I don't buy anything, they'll still offer me champagne. There will still be a sales associate like ready and willing to help me, right? And now I understand, I'm not ignorant to the fact that they get paid on commission, right? So they want to be there to make the sale. But I think regardless of that, they're still personable. They still want to talk to you because they're trying to create a relationship with you, right? So you could potentially come back to them. Another thing why I'm comparing these fertility clinics to these, to the luxury, like luxury shopping, is like, I go in there and I have dropped thousands of dollars before on a handbag, and they treated me like a princess. Again, I got the champagne service. They take me back to a special room. They bring the bag out from the back. They have white gloves on, right? They touch it. They make it a really fabulous experience because I'm dropping thousands of dollars at their store. They understand that I have maybe saved for this money. They understand that I've potentially worked hard for this money. They understand that I might have a sugar daddy, right? Who's going to buy this? And especially because I've paid cash for all of my handbags before, right? So they're going to treat me a certain way, just like if I were to go into Nordstrom's. You're going to be treated differently in Nordstrom's than you're going to be treated in Macy's or even Target. Okay, like, this is a luxury service that I'm getting with this egg freezing. The luxury experience that I'm getting when I go to Nordstrom or Saks Fifth Avenue or wherever. It's like, I could potentially drop thousands of dollars in your store. I feel like the customer service should be up at the next level. And that's what I'm trying to get at, is these fertility clinics should be treating us, their patients, like if we were luxury shoppers, because we're coming in and I only dropped a few thousand dollars because I haven't done the implantation, right? I haven't done to create the embryo yet. But when that time comes, it's going to be more than just a few thousands of dollars. It's going to be in like the double digit thousands of dollars, not just a single digit. And I feel like when someone is coming into your shop, into your clinic, into your restaurant, into your boutique, into your school, like, you know what I mean? I feel like that there should be a certain level of customer service that you are getting, because you know that this is really expensive. And it's like, why don't they understand that? And I was talking with Deborah and she goes, well, yeah, like, what about the med spa service? The women that go into med spas, now I don't have personal experience with this, but she was, so this is just from Deborah's experience or maybe from what she's heard, but she's like, women who go into these med spas and get their Botox and get their Dysport and get their liposuction and all those things, they are treated like queens and they are treated like princesses, because it's about a luxury. It's about coming into making yourself feel good. It's about, we want your repeat service. We want you to refer us to all of your friends, okay? Because that's what we do, right? When we find something that we love, we share it with everybody else. It's like, why couldn't you treat me like that at the fertility clinic? All right, let's talk about the retrieval now. Pre-retrieval, right? So you have to take like your trigger shot, which is like, I may have talked about this already, but it's just a little bit of a longer needle. You still have to like be a little chemist in your bathroom and mix up the potion yourself, right? And you put it into the syringe. And then it's kind of funny because where they had me put it was like in the back, like kind of above my butt. And it's just weird because I was doing it myself. So I had to like twist around and like stand backwards at the mirror, right? So I could twist around and see where I was going. But they said the trigger shot went well. And then you aren't supposed to eat anything like 24 hours before your procedure. And so my procedure, like, I think my check-in was at like 7:30 something. And then my procedure was going to be maybe like 30 minutes later, maybe at like 8:15 or whatever. So I get there like, anyways, my best friend, Trish, she's my ride. So I like get ready. And you're not even allowed to drink water. Okay. No eating, no liquids, no nothing. So I drive out of Trish's house. We get in the car. The fertility clinic is actually like right by her house. Great. So she drops me off. No one is at the clinic yet. And like, that was like another first red flag, because it's like, you know that you have patients today. And I think I maybe only got there 20 minutes before my scheduled time that I was supposed to be there. That's it. And I thought, oh, for sure people would be there. Like, they know that I'm coming in for my procedure today. Like, why would they not be there a little bit early to be prepared to get ready, right? So I get there, no one's in the clinic. Okay, this is like February. Yes, it was so cold outside and I was like shivering. And Trisha had already left because I just expected that someone would be there, but they weren't, okay? So I waited outside and I was shivering and freezing cold. And then I see this man, he comes up and I was like, hey, can you let me in? He was like, yeah, I think so. So he comes in, I go over to like my side of the clinic because this is a really big clinic. And there's like multiple hallways in this clinic. It's like so much like a maze. And depending on what hallway you're going to go down, it's depending on like what treatment you're getting, right? If I'm going to the left, I'm going to go get an ultrasound. If I'm going to the right, I'm going to get blood work. And if I go straight, that's where like the retrieval is, because they do it literally all in their clinic. So I like go to the front and it's completely dark. No one's in there and I'm really tired and it's really early in the morning and I'm really hungry and thirsty. So I just like lay down on the couch that's in the waiting room, right? So finally they call me back and I'm talking with the nurses, and one of the nurses that are like the main nurse, she's a Kansas City Chiefs fan just like me. So we're talking a little bit about the Chiefs. And the girl had to poke me 3 times and she never got the IV started. And it's like, I appreciate the fact that she wants to do it. Like, she wants to probably prove to herself and to me that she can do it. And I know that nurses can do it. It doesn't just have to be a phlebotomist, right? And so she poked me in my arm. She poked me in my hand, which when she said she was going to go for my hand, I like almost freaked out because I was like, oh, that's probably going to hurt so bad. There's like, it's my hand. I don't know. I have this weird thing that like, I feel like I'm going to rip my IV out on accident. And so I don't know. I just thought in my hand, like I use my hands a lot. Like that's just much more like easy for me, I feel like, to knock it out. So she doesn't get me. She doesn't prick me, whatever. And like, I also want to describe this little waiting room for you. It's cold as ice. It's interesting because the clinic that I go to is on the very top floor. And so there's just massive windows that face like the main road. So I'm in one of those, offices. I have to get like in one of those, and in my waiting room is all of the massive windows that face the main road. Yes, we're up on the top floor and I'm assuming that the windows are tinted. Like I hope so, because I had to get completely naked, like in front of the whole city. Like it was just crazy. Okay. So then they put you in this most uncomfortable chair. And And it's just a very, very small room. And I feel like all, like, I had my handbag right next to me. I had my clothes right next to me. And they just got in the way. Like, the nurse had to move them out of the way. And I was like, okay, whatever, it's fine. And then as she was moving the chair, my shoe got stuck underneath the wheel. And she, like, dragged my shoe. And it was just my Croc. So it's, like, not that big of a deal. And I'm not going to be, like, that bitchy about that kind of stuff. But I just wanted to tell you, that's how small the room was. Like, the fact that there was three of us in this room, because I was sitting in the chair, there was a nurse who was trying to poke me, and then I think there was, like, a nurse maybe who was training, maybe? So all of us in there, and my clothes and my handbag, like, there wasn't enough room for anybody. So very cold, very bleak, like, it was so uncomfortable. So whatever, I'm trying to be patient, I'm trying to be cool about the whole situation. The nurse tries to prick me, doesn't work. She's like, okay, I'm going to wait for the anesthesiologist to come in and he'll be able to get it. And I'm thinking, oh my God, lady, you couldn't have just waited for the anesthesiologist to come in the very first time. You had to prick me like three times. Okay. So the anesthesiologist comes in and he is a nice man. Super nice. I think his name was like Justin or something. Super nice guy. Like, he lives out in the East Valley, like where I live, and he was so kind. And I showed him my veins and I said, usually they use this arm. I said, because I had been coming in for blood work like every day, I was switching arms. Like, that's just a smart, logical thing to do. And he was like, good job, like, good girl, that's what you should be doing. So I showed him, I have a really good vein on my left arm. And I was like, here, this is the one that they mostly use. And see, the nurse, I showed the nurse that vein and she was like, oh, I'm too afraid because it looks like there's scar tissue built up. And I was like, okay, whatever. I don't know what that means. But anyways, so he was like, oh no, this is going to be a cinch. He did it in a cinch, right? And it didn't hurt. It was so awesome. So he put the port in and we're just talking and I tell him the company that I work for and he just starts to ask me all these questions. Like, he was just really great. Like, he definitely is the best doctor that I've worked with at that clinic, the anesthesiologist, who I don't think that they have an anesthesiologist actually like permanent full time. What I think they do, and especially with these like nurses too that are part of the actual egg retrieving procedure, I think that somehow there's like a board or like a website where you can see like what clinics need, like what shifts filled, and you can just like sign up to fill in those shifts. That's kind of, I didn't know that. Like, I mean, if I'm not in the medical field, but I feel like that does make sense, or I don't know if nurses can, I don't know, but it didn't seem like that this anesthesiologist was always working with this clinic. Like, this was their full time. It just kind of seemed like he was there today because when he punched in the code to get inside the building in the very morning, right, when he let me in, he was like, I think I can let you in. Let me see if this code works. So he like had to try the code like twice. So that's why I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, he must not work here all the time. Or maybe it was like his very first time working, I don't know, at that clinic. So he's great. We just like start having this great conversation. I tell him, you know, the current industry that I'm in right now is completely different from what my like degree is in and what my background is in. So we're just talking, whatever. Finally, my doctor comes in, finally. And he's like, okay, so there's one patient ahead of you who's like doing their procedure right now. You'll be right after that. And of course, I asked my doctor all these questions and I remember asking him, so I should know how many eggs were I said to him, so when should I find out how many eggs were retrieved? And he goes, you know, probably within like a day or two. But he's like, you know, I don't really know much about the egg freezing process. And I just looked at him and I said, but you're the IVF doctor. How do you not know much about the egg freezing process when it's in your freaking clinic that you work in? You're the IVF doctor. What do you mean you don't know how the egg freezing process works? That's literally what this jackass told me. And I just said, but I got to tell you, so that was his response to a lot of my questions. You know, I don't really know about that. You know, I don't really know. And I appreciate the honesty and that he didn't just make crap up. But I'm thinking, you're the doctor. Like, shouldn't you know? You're an IVF doctor. Like, this is your specialty. Shouldn't you understand every aspect of your job? At least like a general overview. So when a patient does have questions, you can actually give them some like sound logic and like a sound answer instead of saying, yeah, I don't really know much about the egg freezing process. I just looked at him and I was like, you mother effer. Wow. You really are a bastard, aren't you? Like, I just feel like, why couldn't you have answered my question? So anyways, I let it go. I just let it go. So they go, okay, Jenna, it's your turn. So I've never been under anesthesia before, right? So we're walking, I'm walking into the procedure room. Because I asked the anesthesiologist, I said, is this a surgery or is this like a procedure? Because I've never had a surgery before. And he goes, well, like technically we are making like a little cut into your ovary and they put the needle in and then they just drain everything that's in your ovary, right? He's like, I said, yeah, but it doesn't feel like a surgery because you're not having to like stitch me up or necessarily cut me open, right? You're like poking, making a tiny little hole. He was like, yeah, so I would say it's just a procedure. I was like, great. So that was a little side conversation we had, but I went in, I lay down on the bed and one of the nurses goes, okay, so we need you to like unwrap yourself from the back, right? Mind you, I'm completely naked from the bottom down. I still have like my t-shirt on, but whatever. And the anesthesiologist was standing right behind me. And I just felt so uncomfortable, like getting naked from the waist down in front of him, right? So I like kind of like modestly like undo it and I lay down and she was like, no, we need to take this all the way up. And I was like, well, okay, there goes my modesty. Like, and the anesthesiologist is probably it's probably so normal to him, but it just wasn't for me because I've never been in this situation. I laid down, she pulled that thing right up. Everything was exposed to anybody who was in there. She put my legs up on the little stirrups. Is that what they're called? Stirrups. And she's like, okay, obviously bring your butt all the way close. And I did. And she's like, no, it needs to be more. And I was like, okay. So then the anesthesiologist is just talking to me some more. And I notice he starts to put something in like the port. And I said, oh, is this it? Is this the anesthesia? And he was like, no, not yet. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he goes, okay, now here it is. And I go, oh, I feel kind of tingly. And he goes, yep, okay, see you soon. And then I just blacked out. Like, it worked so fast and so, like, immediately. I just don't know what I was expecting, but it was just like, boom, I was out. And then they woke me up and they were like, okay, Jenna, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. And so I get up, I walk into the waiting room, you know, the room that where I'm just by myself with that uncomfortable chair and like all the freaking windows. And I sit back down and I'm just like, I don't want to wait in here. Like, this is so uncomfortable. I'm freezing cold. This chair is so uncomfortable. Like, I want to leave. Like, I told Trish, my procedure actually went a lot faster than what they estimated. So I'd already texted her before I went in to my procedure to be like, hey, can you come get me now? Because they're going to be done in like 30 minutes, right? So I knew Trish was like already on her way and I was like, I don't want to wait in here. So I just completely like took off the gown. I got fully dressed. The nurse came back in. She was like, oh, you're like already dressed. I was like, yeah, like I don't want to be in here. I want to leave. And so she came in. She gave me some like aftercare stuff information. Basically what she told me is like to make sure that you eat salty foods. That's basically what she said. And then she also said, and I would recommend you not drinking any alcohol for like a certain amount of time for whatever reason. And I was thinking to myself, oh no, that is not going to be happen because Trish and I are going to start drinking like ASAP because I haven't drank for this whole time. Right. And so I'm not like alcoholic, but Big Wave by Kona is our favorite. And the taste of it is like citrusy Hawaiian goodness. It's just so good. And so for me, like, I just enjoy the taste. I'm not like trying to get drunk, just like sipping on it, right? I enjoy the taste of it. And I was like, well, anyways. So then she comes in, she leaves. And then I'm like, oh gosh, I need to go pee. So I like get up, I walk out, my doctor is standing right there and the anesthesiologist is standing right there. And I was like, I gotta go pee. So, and the doctor goes, oh, that's like a normal side effect after the procedure. Right. Great. I go, I walk back out and they still have not taken the port out of my arm yet. I look at the anesthesiologist and I said, are you gonna take this out or am I gonna have to do it myself? And he looks at me and the only thing I remember is he said, you're capable. And I don't know, like, I obviously could have taken it out myself. Like, I can do anything, right? I don't, whatever. I wanted it out of me. So I would have taken it out if he was going to be much longer because I just wanted to get out of there. And so he comes in, he takes it out or the nurse takes it out or whatever. And then they like, okay, like, aren't you going to sit in here and rest? I said, no, I'm ready to go. I want to get out. I want to go now. So I go in, and I think I had told you guys this, but I go into the waiting room and I just am having the most terrible cramps. And I'm waiting there. I'm talking to a couple. Trish comes. Okay. But one of the morals of the story is I think that the whole office staff was so surprised at how fast I came out of anesthesia. Like, I was just ready to go, completely capable. Like, let's go. We just did this procedure. Like, I'm ready to go on with my life. Another thing is the anesthesiologist, when he first came in to talk to me about it, like about the procedure, about getting the anesthesia, about being poked with needles, all that stuff. He goes, are you nervous? And I was like, no. He goes, oh, you're not? I was like, no, why would I be nervous? And everybody asked me that, like my mom in the morning before I left to Trisha's house, she goes, are you nervous? And I was like, no, why would I be nervous? Then Trish asked me, are you nervous? And I was like, no, why does everybody keep asking me that? I'm not nervous. Why would I be nervous? You know? And then again, the anesthesiologist, are you nervous? I was like, no. He goes, oh, like, I think it's an uncommon thing for how calm I was, how ready to go I was, how I was like, yeah, let's just do it. Like, I'm ready to get this over with, right? Like, he was just really shocked and really surprised. And to be honest, I think everybody was. My mom and Trish was surprised that I was just like so calm, cool, and collected. And it's like, dude, like, what do I have to be worried about? You know, I think there are women and there would be people out there who would be a little nervous about it. I just wasn't. So it was cool. He just was like, oh, you're not scared? And I was like, no, why would I be scared? Like, it is what it is. The procedure is going to go the way that it's supposed to go. And so there's nothing for me to worry about. So, yeah. And I think I may have already told you guys this already, but I'm just going to say it again. So Trish picks me up. We go home. And then I'm in her kitchen. Like, I think I'm like doing dishes or something. Like, this is before I go to lay down for a few hours. And I just get the most incredible amount of pain in my like stomach or in my abdomen. And it is a pain that I've never experienced before. And it was almost like it was so sharp. And Trish was just in the living room, right? The kitchen and the living room are connected, but she couldn't see me because I had bent over. I was like in front of the sink and I was in so much pain. I almost fell to the ground, but I was thinking to myself, Jenna, don't fall. You're going to scare Trish. Everything's going to be okay. Just breathe through this. See if it passes, right? Like sometimes when women, we know what our menstrual cramps are like, right? This was worse than a menstrual cramp. Again, a feeling I've never felt before, but we know that our cramps come and go. I know that I've dealt with pain before. I know that I can breathe through it and I'm going to get through it, right? But it was so bad and it was only the one time. I don't know if it felt like there was like air in there, but it was a sharp pain, like a shooting pain. And I was just like, holy shit, what is this? It was crazy. So, well, you know, I went and laid down for a few hours and then we got up and we started like having some drinks. And I think it was around 12 p.m. And I was like, yep, this is exactly what I'm doing with my life right now, because why not? You know what I mean? Like, we got to celebrate when we can celebrate. And then we watched Stranger Things and I stayed the night and it was like we just had the best time. And so like in the end, the whole experience was just like horrendous, but I'm really happy that Trish got to take me. I'm really happy that I got to spend time with my friends. I'm really thankful that she was able to take care of me and willing to take care of me, because, you know, sometimes I have a hard time asking for help because like I know I'm capable. So like, why do I need your help? But I also think sometimes it's like good to ask for help, right? Okay, so now let's get in to how do I want to start this? Okay. Now let's just get into what happened even more after the retrieval. Okay. So now we're in the post-retrieval time. So the doctor said it should probably be about a few days, but you know, he doesn't really know much about the freezing process, which is just such bullshit. And so I had waited and my retrieval was on a Saturday. I figured they wouldn't, even though sometimes they do work on Sundays, I figured I wouldn't hear from them until like Monday or Tuesday. Totally fine. Monday and Tuesday go by. It's crickets. Literally crickets. And my blood was starting to boil at this point. I was like, it's been 2 days now. Why haven't I heard from them? What is going on? Okay. Also, let me tell you that no one for the fertility clinic called to check up on me to see how I was doing after the procedure. I'm telling you, this is the worst customer service that I've ever experienced and the worst patient care that I have ever experienced in my entire life. Even when I get my freaking blood drawn at my general doctor, I always get a call. Hey, everything came back normal from your lab work, da 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 da. Or, hey, we need you to come back in. They always follow up. Everybody follows up. Everybody follows up. They never once followed up with me asking how my procedure went. Hey, how are you doing? Hey, did you have to go to the hospital? Hey, are you bleeding? Right? Like, have you stopped bleeding? Like, nothing. There was nothing. It was literally crickets. So then I wait an entire week. Still haven't heard from them. I still haven't heard about how many eggs they have retrieved. And at this point, I was really pissed off. And I was like, I cannot contact them right now because I'm going to bite their head off. And it's not going to be a pretty situation. Because why have you not contacted me about how my retrieval went? You haven't even asked me how I'm doing. And now you haven't even told me how many eggs were retrieved. What the freak? So then I wait. I wait another week. So at this point, it is 2 weeks almost to the day that I had my procedure and I still had not heard from them. So Friday comes, right? It'll be the 2 week mark the next day on Saturday. So the Friday before the 2 week mark, I finally messaged them on Clara and I said, hey, I haven't heard from anybody about how my egg retrieval went. Period. And do you know what? And it was on a Friday. Right. And their office closes early on Friday. I think they close at like 12. Okay. Then they were gone for the weekend. Monday morning at like 8 a.m. I get a message from them. Oh, your retrieval went great. We received this many eggs. Da 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 da. I was like, wait a minute. So you've just been sitting on this information and you're just not telling me about it? No, no, no. It wasn't like, oh, hey, Jenna, give us 24 hours. We got to contact the lab. We got to reach out to this person. We got to do blah, 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 blah. We'll definitely get back to you. Oh, no, 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 no. It was literally the next working day, early in the freaking morning, that they told me how the retrieval went. I was just like, holy shit. You've been sitting on this information and you never bothered to tell me? What kind of service is that? What kind of patient care? I was so pissed off. I was so pissed off. And so I messaged them and I said, how come I had to be the one to contact you to find out how my retrieval went? I said, also, no one from your clinic called to check up on me to see how the procedure went. What is up with that? I said, this is the worst customer service I've ever experienced. You are the worst communicator that I've ever dealt with, and I will never recommend anybody to your clinic. I have had it with them. I have so freaking had it with them. And to be quite honest with you, I am surprised that they haven't been like, Jenna, take your eggs and go somewhere else. Clearly, we can't make you happy. And like, I'm kind of like waiting for that moment. But I also know like I should be the one to take my eggs and go somewhere else without them telling me. But I just want the eggs to stay there for a minute until I have officially moved past this and like have healed from it a little bit and like stepped away for a little while so I can think clearly and not think too emotionally, right? Like logically, okay, what's the best scenario? What's the best situation? What's the best scenario? So I just want them to stay there for a little while until I can like move on, right? Okay, so not only did they not follow up with me, not only did they not tell me how the retrieval went. Oh, and I do want to tell you, I'm very happy with the numbers. She told me they were able to retrieve this many numbers, and out of that number, more than half were able to be frozen. Like more than half were matured and more than half were able to be frozen. And that number, I'm very happy with that number. So I will not be doing another egg retrieval. I thought that maybe next year I'd have to do another one. Oh my God. And then you know what? So the main doctor this is a side note. Let me finish and then I'll come back. So I wasn't sure if I was going to have to do another retrieval. It just depended on how many eggs that we were able to freeze, right? And you know, all I need is one. That's all I keep saying. I just need one. And it's pretty normal, like statistically, that the eggs out of the amount that they retrieved, like more than half of them, they were able to freeze. So I'm assuming when we take them out of being frozen and create embryos, about half of them from that number will live. And then with genetic testing, maybe only half of them will be good. So at that, I'll only have a few left. But again, that's enough because I only just need one. Okay, so funny, because right before my retrieval, when I'm sitting in that little disgusting waiting room, I was talking to my doctor, and I asked him, like, how long until I'm going to know how many eggs? And that's when he told me that bullshit. And then I go, okay, I said, he goes, so then once you know that number, then you'll decide if maybe you want to come back for another retrieval. And he looks at me, he goes, how old are you? I said, 35. And he goes, well, I wouldn't wait too long. That was the doctor that was my full-time doctor. He had no bedside manner. He just was a straight shooter, and he just told you straight up. And I do kind of like that, where the other doctor, the owner doctor, who I also had some conversations with, he's a little bit more gentle on his delivery, right? Anyways, so I'm happy with the number. I'm not gonna be doing another retrieval. And you know, I was talking to my sister-in-law about this yesterday, and she goes, how do you know that the eggs that they have frozen are actually yours? And I said, you know what, I've thought about that too. I said, I don't know, I just have to trust the process. Like, I can't control every situation. I just have to trust, right? Like, I just have to trust that these are my eggs. And when we do the genetic testing, like if we need to do a DNA test too, for me to have peace of mind to know that these are my eggs, then great, we'll do that at that time. Okay, so then after they finally told me how many eggs I got in the retrieval, I asked them again about my refund. Where's my refund at? It's now been, you know, three weeks since. So on February 7th is when they told me about one of the refunds. And they said, we still have to wait for the other one to come in so we can just send you one check. And I said, okay, great. So this was at the end of February. And I said, okay, so it's been like 20 days and I haven't heard. It was like February 27th. I said, it's been 20 days and I haven't heard back from you about how my refund is going. Those bitches. They come back and they go, well, as we've previously told you on January 29th, blah, 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 this is going to be your refund. And I said, oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. You did not previously tell me shit. No, no, no. Look back in Clara. We got all of this. We got all the receipts, baby. We got all the receipts. And I thought to myself, if you had previously told me all this information, why do you think I would waste my time continuing to follow up? Okay. God, I was so pissed. So anyways, I said, no, no, no. I said on January 29th, which is the day that I went in for my down regulation appointment. So that's the appointment where you have to pay in full. They do your blood work and ultrasound and you literally start your medication. So that was on a Friday and I started my medication on that Monday. Okay. So it's like at this point you're paid in full. And after that appointment, I went up to pay what I thought was going to be this certain amount and I was discounted. I think I may have told you this. I was discounted like $350. Okay. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I asked the front desk girls, I said, wait a minute. When they gave me my total, I said, wait a minute. How come it's $350 less? And they were like, we don't know. And I said, what do you mean you don't know? Isn't there like something that tells you how come I'm getting some kind of credit or a discount? And they're like, no, this is just what it says, how much you owe. So I just paid it. And I was like, well, good. Maybe they're giving me a discount because it was the $350 that I paid for the blood work, right? $250 for the ultrasound. So this girl comes back who's part of the billing department at the fertility clinic. When I asked, hey, where's my refund at? She goes, well, as we previously told you on January 29th, we gave you that $350 discount because of the blood work situation. I said back to her, I said, oh, hell no. I said, no one ever told me that that's why I had the $350 discount. When I talked to those front desk girls and I asked them how come my bill was cheaper than what it was supposed to be, they told me, I don't know. I said, whoever's told you that you've already discussed this with me is lying to you. And I am not happy about this because you're accusing me of things that are not true. And then also, you know what they were trying to do? They were trying to short me my refund because on February 7th, when she said, hey, this is how much it is for the ultrasound. We've charged your insurance for that. We've charged your insurance. So here's like the refund amount that we'll be sending you in the check. It was like $101.20. I said, great. And this is when I demanded, hey, when am I going to get this check? I wasn't asking. I was making a statement. when should I receive, when should I expect this check in the mail? That's when she said, we need to wait for the other thing. And that's the thing. It, she's telling me two different messages, because at that time on February 7th, they said, we need to wait to find out about the blood work situation, right? The $350, when they've already given me the discount on the 29th of January. Okay. And then now on February 27th, they're telling me that they've already decided that they're going to do the blood work discount. Do you know what I mean? Like, none of their stories are straight or make any sense. So then they're trying to short me my refund. I calculated the refund on February 7th and it was going to be $101.20. Do you know what the refund amount was that they told me on February 27th that it was going to be? Like $97 and some change. Again, I got so pissed. I said, and by the way, the check of my refund is supposed to be $101.20, not this $97 and some bullshit that you're trying to give to me. I said, how dare you try to short me on my refund? Oh no, you're giving me the check of the price that you told me the first time, because guess what? It's in writing. You think that I'm going, like, what is this bullshit? It's just literally one thing after another. What is wrong with them? Now, first you're trying to blame me and tell me that we've already told you all these things. Oh, and then on the January 29th conversation where they told me that they once again accused me of already telling me information about my refunds earlier that month. So in the January 29th conversation, they go, well, we've previously told you on this date that this is what we were going to do about the refund. And I said to them, oh, hell no. That is not what happened. I said, what happened was I spoke with your office manager, Jan, on the phone, and I asked her about this, and she told me, Jenna, we're going to work on it, and I'll let you know. And that's how come 3 weeks later, on January 29th, I followed up, and I said, what's going on with my refund? Again, do you think I would be wasting my time following up with you if you'd already given me this information? Like I said, your lack of communication is such garbage. You guys are not talking to yourself within the clinic, and it's causing me a lot of emotional and mental distress. Because I should not have to be the one keeping track of everything. I just paid you a lot of thousands of dollars. Take care of your shit. Like, what the hell is wrong with you guys? Seriously, it is so chaos. I don't even, like, how did my friend not have these issues too? How am I the first one to question their business practices? What, like, oh my gosh. It just has been such a continuous nightmare. A continuous nightmare. Like, guys, I don't even know what to say. Like, and so, since I've called them out on being the worst customer service I've ever experienced, terrible communicators, that someone is lying to someone saying that they've told me all of this information when they haven't. The front desk girls had no idea why I was getting a discount. Like, y'all suck. So since I've told them how terrible they are, they have sent me messages on Clara that I haven't looked at, and they called me. And I refuse to answer them. I like refuse to talk to them anymore. I can't deal with this. Like, I refuse to talk to you. If you want to, like, I refuse. You have been so terrible to me. I refuse to give you any more of my time. Like, eventually I'm going to have to look at the text message feed, because I keep getting a text from them that says, remember, check your message in Clara, da 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 da. So eventually I'm going to have to do it, but it's like, I don't even want to deal with it. And one reason is, like, I'm scared that they're going to, this is my personality, but I'm scared they're going to turn around and blame it on me. Like, there's still a little bit of a part of me that's like, Jenna, are you exaggerating all of this? Did you just make this into something that it didn't need to be? And like, I have a fear that I'm going to open that text message and they're going to be like, here's all the things that you did wrong, right? That's just my personality. But I know that I'm in the right. I know that I am. And we gotta like take the lid off of this, the terrible fertility industry. And you know, I know I'm not the only one that this has happened to. And so we need to like band together and stand up and speak up, because as women, like, we need to make sure that our rights are noticed, that are recognized, that we speak out, that we are not afraid to speak out, that we won't allow men to control us, and we won't allow other women to control us. And it's like, we got to stick together and we got to band together. And I think, I don't know, I'm so heated right now. I'm just so heated, like all the lying and all the backstabbing and like how they bamboozled me. And I just feel like they've sabotaged like the entire thing. It's really messed up. So I think that's all I have to say. can't remember, but I think that this is where I'm going to end it. Thanks for listening. Well, that is all I have for you on this episode of A Conversation with Jenna. But remember, the conversation doesn't have to end here. If you have thoughts and opinions on my thoughts and opinions, you can email me at aconversationwithjenna@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you, but I can't promise to respond to every email. Also, please rate and review my podcast on whatever platform you listen on. I would greatly appreciate it. Don't let the things you want make you forget the things you have. Thank you so much for listening, and I can't wait to talk with you next time. Bye.